Notice in verse 8, and I want to talk to you just for a few moments. My boss probably won't let me do much today. I made a broadcast, and it's just been shot this week, so I'll do the best I can. Ephesians chapter 1. And notice what he says. I'm going to begin in verse 7. In whom, and of course that's a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, the beloved of verse 6. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. I want to talk to you about that wisdom. And there are two basic kinds of wisdom in the world. And let me just say right off the bat, I am not against education. I believe you should get an education. I believe you should go on and get as much education as you can to better yourself in this world and in life. And I think it's good that you do that. The problem is when people get an education of this world and they put it above the wisdom of this Bible, and they think they're smarter than God. True wisdom is in this book. The word wisdom there is the right use or exercise of knowledge. If you have the wrong knowledge, you'll have the wrong wisdom. You can't exercise wisdom is if it's the use and exercise of knowledge. He says in all wisdom and prudence. Prudence is the exercise of sound judgment in avoiding evils by knowing what is evil. And so prudence has to do with sound judgment. Wisdom has to do with using the knowledge that you have accumulated. Knowledge is also translated science, Paul said, falsely so-called, in the Bible. And that's what science is knowledge. Now, Eve went after the wrong wisdom. Look back in Genesis and notice in Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3. So it's a matter of having the right knowledge in order to be wise. There are some people that have all kinds of degrees that's dumber than a rock, as far as the Bible. They have man's wisdom. They have the wisdom that man taught them. But that's not true wisdom. That's the wisdom of this world. And like I said, there's nothing wrong in getting a degree. There's nothing wrong in getting education. That's good and admirable. That's what you should. But true wisdom is found in a King James Bible, and we're going to look at that. Notice what he says in Genesis chapter 3, and notice what the serpent, he asked the woman, verse 3, he said, but of the fruit of the trees, this is the woman now, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it. And she adds to the King James, she adds to the Word of God. I say King James, I'm sure it was there in the mind of God anyway. But God had told them his word of what to eat and what not to eat. But she goes on, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it. He never told them that they couldn't touch it. He just said, don't eat of it, lest you die. Now, verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Now, you know what he did? He just called God a liar. He just said, God lied to you. He said, for God knoweth that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing, there's the knowledge, good and evil. Now, who has the wisdom to know good and what is evil? God does. And so, he didn't have to tell you what it is. He knows. Now, look what he said. Verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one what? There's the wisdom. The knowledge of verse 6, knowing good and evil, want to be like God, don't want the authority, I'll know what's best for me, the knowledge and the wisdom to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And folks, that's the beginning. Listen, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now that fear there, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind. That fear there, that's not being afraid of him, that he's going to do something bad to him. That's being in awe of him. That's respecting him. That's honoring him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. People that can have all kinds of education and they don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then they're fools. A fool has said in his heart, a fool is one that lacks the knowledge of God, the knowledge of salvation. A fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And I know a lot of people, and I've read a lot of people that teach and go to seminaries, they're fools. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And notice Paul talks about the wisdom. And I was thinking about this, and as Kevin teaching about the city, the creation of God and the wisdom behind the creation, you'll never figure it out. The world by wisdom knew not God. You can't put God in a test tube. You can't find out God. You can't find out God's ways. His ways is past knowledge. We trust in him, that he'll do right by us. We trust in him. Listen, if God put us all in hell, there would be nothing you could do about it. He's God. Your actions cannot control God. God said it. We take him at his word, face value. He'll never change. Now look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He says there in verse 20. Well, go back to verse 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. There's the words again. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolishness the wisdom of this world? The wisdom of this world is based upon three things. The lust of the eye, the pride of life, and the lust of the flesh. That was the three things that no devil tempt Eve with. And there are three things that go hand in hand. Look what he says there. He said there in verse, "Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called," now watch it, "both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." Then where would I find the wisdom of God at? In Christ. Look in verse 30. He said in 1 Corinthians 1:30, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us." Christ is made unto us by God the Father. Made unto us what? Wisdom. Our wisdom is in Christ. A man that doesn't have Christ is not, he's not wise in this world. You want wisdom? Trust Christ. You want wisdom? Learn Christ. Learn about Him. Gather that knowledge. Exercise that knowledge that you have of Christ. And if you got the right knowledge, you'll be a smart person. You'll be a wise person. But he goes on. God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Christ is our right wisdom. Verse 31, that according as it is written, "He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." No glory in the flesh. It's all in the Lord. Everything you have in Christ. Your redemption is in Christ. Your eternal salvation is in Christ. You're accepted in the blood, Christ. Everything that you have that God can give you, it's in Christ. Why preach Christ? There's nothing else to preach but Christ. Not in our goodness, it's not in our works, there's nothing that we can do, nothing we can say to make us acceptable to God. Jesus Christ made us acceptable by His death on the cross. And I believe that and I trust that. And if that don't get me in, there ain't nothing else I can do. Amen. Look on with me. Notice in chapter 2. In chapter 2, notice what he says there in verse 4. Paul said, "In my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom." Man's wisdom versus God's wisdom. Notice what he said. Man's wisdom has to do with what I can do to please God. God's wisdom is, I've gave you what will please me. Man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. For howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, not perfect without sin, perfect in Christ. Now look, he said, "Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom." This wisdom was hid. What was it? It was hid in God. He said, "Hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Then this hidden wisdom had to do with the crucifixion of the Lord of glory. Am I right or wrong? Then on that cross, God demonstrated His hidden wisdom. And that hidden wisdom had to do with you. That hidden wisdom was that Jesus Christ went to that cross for undeserving Gentiles in the flesh that he never made a covenant with, that had no hope and without God in the world, idol worshiping, no good people like you and me. And he bore, took our place on that cross, and he died your death, and the crimes that you commit against God in your life here on this earth, Jesus Christ paid for them. And the penalty of them was death. The wages of sin was death. And he went into death, not just the death of the departing of the spirit and soul from the body. His soul and spirit that departed from that body, that soul and spirit went into death. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Satan tried to get rid of the seed. Satan tried to destroy Christ. Christ was the King. Christ was the Son of God. The demons, the devils knew who he was. They said, "You've come to torment us before our time. I know who you are. You're the Son of God. You're the Messiah." He'd say, "Hold your peace." He would stop them. He did that for, they would have proclaimed him. They knew who he was. There was times that they moved upon the people and they would throw him off of a mountain. There was times and he would just walk right through the crowd. Why would they want him threw off of a mountain to kill him? Herod went back from 2 years old and killed the male child. Why? They're trying to kill him. All through his ministry, he faced death. Why? He's this promised seed. If I can kill him, I've got God whipped. So he thought. But God had a mystery that nobody knew. He wrote it down in the Old Testament scriptures that Jesus Christ would die. You can find that back there. You can find in the Old Testament where Judas would betray him for silver. Oh, yes. You can find in the Old Testament where that he was buried and that he raised up from the dead. Yes, you can. The death, the burial, resurrection is Old Testament. It's in there. But it's hid. Nobody ever had a thought that that cross was going to be for people like you and me. You and me, if we wanted to come to God, we would have to go to Israel and submit under their ordinances and their religion to have access to God. That would be the only way. Then we would have to bring their sacrifices and we would have to do the ordinances and do all the ceremonies and do the things that Israel would do to be pleasing to God. You wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have done it. But we're living in a day where Israel is, "Lo am I, not my people." We're living in a day where Israel is without a priest, without a ephod. We're living in a day where they don't have sacrifices. What in the world is people doing today? God had a mystery. Praise his holy name for the mystery of Christ. The mystery of the gospel. And that mystery was, my son is going to pay for the sins of the whole world. My son is going to be the substitute for every man, woman, boy, or girl that ever breathes my air from that time on. Had they known that, had they known that death that they're wanting him to go to was for you, he wouldn't have never, oh no. They would have had the people praising him. They wouldn't have allowed it. But look in Hebrews 5 about this death that he went into. It's not just death. He abolished death for the believer. But look what he says in verse 7. And he's talking about Jesus Christ. In verse 5, so also Christ. Come down to verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he walked on this earth, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears. Did he shed tears? He wept and he cried, strong crying and tears. While Luke said he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane until his sweat became as great drops of blood. He's in agony praying, Father, if it be any other way, let this cup pass from me. He was looking at that cup of the wrath of Almighty God that you should have drank. And he drank it for you. But look on. He said with supplication, with strong crying and tears, unto him that was able to save him from what? Death. Now he's in the flesh. He's in a body of flesh. He is all man, but he's all God. The only way he could get out of that flesh had to die. He's not praying against that physical death. This goes deeper than that. He said, able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. You telling me the Son of God feared something? That's what the verse says. What in the world did he fear? He feared the death that he's going to enter in for you. He said, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, that would be in resurrection, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Now look in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And notice what Paul says there in Philippians chapter 2 in verse 5. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Now watch it. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Why the death of the cross? You see, the cross was made for criminals. God made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Don't you get it? Jesus Christ became what you are, a sinner. He became on that cross a sinner, and God turned his back upon him and said, my God, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God could not look upon him because of you. And he died in that state He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he stepped off into death. And that's why in Acts chapter 2, Peter says he was loose from the pains of death. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 that the sting of death is sin. And that sin that he didn't have, but he bore your sins, that sin was stinging him. And he suffered in death. And death is in hell. And death and hell were delivered up, and the dead in them. Then there's dead in the death, and there's dead in hell, and they're all together. And the people that die lost today, they go into death that is in hell, and it's a horrible, horrible position to be in, of being stung. You do not want to go there. There's no more hope of eternal life in that death. The only thing you have eternal is eternal death, and be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. If you're not saved today, for your soul's sake, open your heart and mind and examine your salvation and make sure you have Christ. You either have Him or you don't. You're either saved or you're lost. It's up to you. That's wisdom. Wisdom is having Christ. Where do we find truth today? Look in Ephesians. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And notice in verse 21. If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. There's your knowledge. Look in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 9. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why? That ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. If you have the knowledge of God, you have the wisdom. You can use that knowledge. The wisdom is using the knowledge that you know about, that knowledge that you have. What is that knowledge of God? God's will is that all men be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. It's God's knowledge that He sent His Son to the cross to die for you. It's God's knowledge that He's given you aid. He's given you His Holy Spirit, and you can walk worthy of the Lord if you will use the knowledge that you have and have peace. Notice this thing. Come over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. You notice the wisdom always goes along with the Word. Well, where do you have knowledge? Out of the book. You got the book of wisdom. That wisdom that God said in Proverbs is worth more than the rubies and gold. It's Christ is knowing what Christ has done for you, what you have in Christ. If you have Christ, then you have it all. And nothing will shake you. I'm in Jesus. Well, what about so? Don't matter, I'm in Christ. Well, they don't think you are. It don't matter what they think, I'm in Christ. Knowledge. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called into one body, and be ye thankful. Now here's my verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Notice in chapter 4, Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. I'm going to go back and read verse 3. We're all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Walk in wisdom. If you don't have the knowledge, you can't walk in wisdom. People are in churches today all over the world, and they're worshiping, but they know not what they're worshiping. They don't have the knowledge of what Christ has done for them. They have the knowledge of some denominational teaching, and they go by that, and you get away from that, they don't know nothing about it. You don't believe me? Go out there and ask them some questions. We're living in one of the most religious times we've ever lived in on this planet. And it's the most idolatrous times you'll ever see. We're living in 2 Timothy chapter 3, where he said they have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. From such turn away. He said they ever learning but never come unto the knowledge of the truth. God would have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Folks, that's the problem. The body of Christ can't walk in wisdom and can't walk to please God because they never come to the knowledge of the truth. So, well, what about you? Well, what about me? I believe this book, and I believe we ought to rightly divide it. All the Bible's for me, but it's not all to me. And I thank God I have that knowledge, and I want to grow, and I still grow. I've been studying this Bible since 1971, after I got saved. And in 1973, I met a man that showed me some differences in this Bible and that this Bible was not all directly to me. And I promised the Lord then that I'd read this Bible through at least once every year. Sometimes more. And I ain't going to tell you how much I read because I'm not going to boast in that because there's nothing to boast in. But I want to know the truth in this book. And I want to have God to give me the wisdom to know how to use the truth. When you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to stand there for your sowing out of the seed of the gospel and sowing the seed of the word of God rightly divided. I want to stand there knowing that I'll get a reward that I had the wisdom to use the knowledge that He gave me. God has given you knowledge. You heard it this morning from Kevin. You hear it Sunday after Sunday. You have that knowledge. But now, are you using that knowledge that God has given you? Are you having wisdom toward that knowledge? Walk in wisdom. Walk to please the Lord. Look back with me again. In Ephesians, and I'm going to close. Ephesians, and notice in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. The Bible says there in verse 16, redeeming the time, using the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise. Well, how can I be unwise? Well, the opposite of what he's going to say. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. A wise man knows what the will of the Lord is. I just told you the will of the Lord. A wisdom is taking that knowledge and using that knowledge. It's exercising that knowledge in your life. Satan comes to you. The Bible says, there hath no temptation taken man such as common to man. And I like the middle of a part of that verse. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. Things that happen to us because we're in a body of flesh. Sometimes when things happen, I want to, I got out yesterday. And my driveway is getting to look like my yard. And so I got out there and I sprayed and I just sweated and sprayed. Went all the way up. And I got back to the shed. And I felt like Elijah. I looked and there was a little cloud about the size of a hand. And I said, that thing going to come. Oh, and that thing just come right over and dumped. It just poured. Now, I could have said, Lord, why did you do that? You could have just went, or I could have blamed the devil. I do not believe that God sent that cloud to wash away my Roundup. I don't believe the devil did it. I don't believe he brought that cloud up to make me aggravate me. So, well, what did? It just happens. We're in an evil world. We're in a body of sin. Things happen, things is going to happen, but God is faithful. That's part of the knowledge. Use wisdom. Use that knowledge. God is faithful. He's not going to hurt us. He's going to do right by us. He's God. Thank you for being here, and may the Lord bless you.